Now we turn to Hosea chapter 1. The remaining verses of that chapter. We'll read from verse 8. Now when she had weaned Loruhamah, she conceived and bare a son. Then said God, call his name Lo am I, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. Then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together and appoint themselves one head. And they shall come up out of the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. May God abundantly bless to us those verses this evening. Last Thursday, we commenced to examine the content of verses 3 to 7 of this chapter, the children born to Gomer, the names of which were chosen by God. And in this, I said, there was great significance. For these names were symbolical of different stages of God's dealings and judgments upon Israel, that is, Israel in her entirety. The first was to be called Jezreel. The name, I pointed out, was already the name of a place. This was to be the name of this first son. We went back to Elijah's day, the terrible apostasy of Ahab and his wife Jezebel, which culminated in the murder of Naboth the Jezreelite. This, we saw, brought things to a head, as it were, and God pronounced devastating judgments, which were carried out by Jehu. And whilst Jehu did much good, yet he did not fully rid the land of idolatry, not by any means. Consequently, it spread again under the nine kings which succeeded him, the last of those nine being Hoshea, who was contemporary with the prophet which is before us, the prophet Hosea. Says the Almighty, this son of the whore is to be called Jezreel, for he is to mark the judgment that I am about to bring, for I am now to avenge the blood of Jezreel, and this time it will be the total cessation of the kingdom of Israel, the northern kingdom. Gomer then had a daughter. She is to be called Loruhamah. No pity, no mercy, no return of a remnant after 70 years. That is for the northern kingdom. No, complete rejection. But Judah, as we saw, was spared from the Assyrians because of the prayers and the reformation which was effected by Hezekiah. God spared Judah. She was not saved by her military strength. As verse 7 stated, it was the mercy of God toward them because of their obedience. So much then for Gomer's first two children. Now let us come to the third, verse 8. Now when she had weaned Loruhamah, she conceived and bare a son. Then said God, call his name, Lo am I, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. Another son. His name to be, Lo am I. Named by the Almighty himself. And it means, not my people. Not my people. You see, this but reinforces what had gone before. No pity, no mercy. And Lo am I symbolizes complete severance of relations with the northern kingdom by the Lord of the Covenant. A complete severance between the Lord of the Covenant and that people. And the reason for this we have plainly seen in past days. For the primary condition of the covenant, that which was fundamental, the overriding term was obedience. Exodus 19:5, we looked at it last week. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all the people, for all the earth is mine. And to this Israel replied, and all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. You see, the exchange of the terms of the covenant. The people said, yes, we will do it. And Moses returned those words to the Lord. The marriage vows. But Jehovah's wife did not keep them. She went a-whoring. And she produced a race of children by harlotry. Yet they all expected recognition and to receive the blessing as covenant heirs. And Gomer was giving a live demonstration of this. Although, of course, she was not aware of it. But she was giving a live demonstration. Call this child's name, Lo am I. These are no children of mine, saith Jehovah. I am not their God. These people who have their shrines for worship in Bethel and in Dan with their golden calves. Oh, true, they proclaim upon their trumpets, the Lord liveth. They do today. Apostate Christendom will tomorrow. God says, they're not my people. They take his name upon their lips, maybe. It's a mockery. It was here. They had their shrines with all their idolatry. That which was extra to that, to what God had commanded. They blew the trumpet, the Lord liveth. It was a mockery. For these children were born as the result of spiritual adultery. And for them, says Jehovah, to take my name upon their lips is blasphemy. I will not be a God unto them. They're totally deluded in their thinking that they are my people. And it must be made plain to them, Hosea, by this marriage of yours to unfaithful Gomer. This is a live demonstration. Now you call this child's name, Lo am I. This child is not mine. It's a result of harlotry. Thus was God now, in the very closing days of Israel's history, not only voicing disapproval, but unmistakably demonstrating complete rejection through this marriage of Hosea, the prophet, to Gomer, the whore. God was demonstrating complete rejection. Now I say, how could the Almighty be clearer put it in a more decisive way. This is a final disowning of that people. God is abolishing the covenant made with the fathers relative to those people having preeminence over other nations. Let's get this right. God is abolishing the covenant made with the fathers relative to those people having preeminence over other nations, such as we saw just now in Exodus 19 and verse 5. It was, if ye obey my voice and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure above all people. But over long generations, Israel had violated that covenant. And now, the northern kingdom was about to be reduced to a condition or to a status in which they differed nothing from the Gentiles. God was disinheriting them from that position that you'll be a people above all other people. They'd be reduced to the same status as others. Henceforth, says the Almighty, you're not my people, and I will not be your God. Now that is plainly stated. It is absolutely explicit. We move on now to verses 10 and 11. And here we come to a head-on clash with the dispensationalists. Verse 10. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. Then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together and appoint themselves under one head, and they shall come up out of the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. Now, Dr. Scofield splits the chapter in his Bible. It's the Authorized Version, as you know, but he's chopped it up almost beyond recognition. I didn't think so once, but I certainly do now. Dr. Scofield splits the chapter in this Bible between verses 9 and 10. And over verse 10, he has this heading, the future blessing and restoration of Israel. The future blessing and restoration of Israel. And then he adds a footnote. The promise of verse 10 awaits fulfillment. Now this, of course, is the line of all those who have traveled with charts, giving lectures on prophecy, which many of us avidly followed in the past. The cunningly devised fables of Darby in the main, and those who imbibed his teaching, which was, of course, over 90%, I suppose, of the brethren, and many others in the varying prophetic movements which issued from that. I make no apology for saying it. Cunningly devised fables. Well, we forget all that. And let the scriptures interpret themselves. We go back, first of all, to Genesis chapter 12 and verse 2. To Abraham. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 2. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Chapter 15, verse 5, Abraham again. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. Now to Genesis chapter 26. We come on from the days of Abraham to the days of Isaac. Having studied the book of Genesis, plus the covenants, of course, we know in very great measure what lies behind many of these verses. Genesis 26, verse 4, Isaac, And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Genesis 28, verse 14. Now we move from Isaac unto Jacob. Genesis 28, 14. Thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. The initial promises given to the patriarchs, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the initial promises. Well, are these promises now set at naught? Is the name of Israel to perish from the earth? No. The promise made to Abraham, confirmed to Isaac, and later to Jacob, like all the promises of God, are yea and amen. They're yea and amen. Paul, writing to Timothy in his second letter, chapter 2 and verse 13, says, If we believe not, he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. And though the earthly Israel was faithless, yet God abideth faithful. The kingdom truly was to be taken away. The nation forever rejected. Yet, says Jehovah, yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered. And there is no division here. As Dr. Schofield and many others would suggest, there is no division here. There is no time lag of perhaps thousands of years to the regathering of a national Israel. No, it is one and the same prophecy. The northern kingdom, the nation, is disinherited, no longer having any favored position on this planet, differing nothing from other Gentiles. Nevertheless, Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, but the sand of the sea will be from all nations, all families of the earth, are to come into blessing, not just 12 tribes. That is not the ultimate. The ultimate was all families. It ever was from the beginning. It is as if the Lord here embraces and combines all the prophecies, bringing together all the promises. All the promises. Now, despite the rejection of the nation, despite the rejection of the nation, says the Lord, Israel shall be a people which cannot be numbered. Cannot be numbered. Well, how is it possible? What does it mean, we ask? Look at the center of verse 10, that wonderful phrase which occurs again and again in Holy Scripture. We see it in every study. It shall come to pass. It shall come to pass. Now, why do things come to pass? They come to pass not by accident. They come to pass because God decrees them. And this is why it will come to pass. This is why it is coming to pass. Because God decreed them. The promises made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were not withdrawn. What is being said in Hosea chapter 1 and verse 10 is that those promises had a much fuller meaning than the majority of the 12 tribes ever imagined. As we saw in the covenants we've seen in our study in the book of Genesis, they could not see beyond the national aspect. They don't today. Those promises had a much fuller meaning. Now let me flash forward now. Some 800 years rather, beyond the days of Hosea. And during this time, the 800 years in advance of Hosea, during that period, we know that Judah too had been carried off into captivity into Babylon. After 70 years in Babylonish captivity, there was a return from Judah and a few from Benjamin. There was a return of a tiny remnant. They came back to their own land and to Jerusalem. Nehemiah and Ezra, of course, speak of these days, together with some of the minor prophets, which we shall see in the months or years to come. But when that tiny remnant returned at the first, those were very happy days. Very happy days. But then the same old story. Declension and apostasy. Now we have seen in our Sermon on the Mount studies the perverted teaching of the scribes and the terrible hypocrisy of the Pharisees. You can see how all these things link up. And into that scene came John the Baptist, some 8 centuries after Hosea. And in Luke chapter 3 and verse 7, he says this. Luke chapter 3 and verse 7, John the Baptist speaking. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid to the root of the trees. These Jews of Judah, who were at this time in Palestine, time of John the Baptist, of course, being Jews, they claimed to be covenant heirs. All these scribes and Pharisees, they claimed to be covenant heirs. But the herald of the true kingdom, he calls them a generation of vipers. You need true spiritual repentance, says the Baptist. Your human ancestry will avail you nothing. God can raise up of these stones children unto Abraham, the true Israel is about to come into view. The axe is about to be laid even to that which remains of Jewry. And it wasn't very much. 8 centuries before Hosea is speaking of this, God raising up children outside of the natural seed of Abraham. Look at the latter part of verse 10. In the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. The true Israel will be found in places and amongst people who were said to be not my people, Gentiles. The nations, all the families of the earth, spoken at the first to the patriarchs. Now this does not mean to say, this does not mean to say that no Jews whatsoever will ever now be called into spiritual blessing. But what it does mean is that they will come the same way. They will come the same way as the Gentiles if they are to be blessed. For their national status is gone. Even in Paul's day, just before the final overthrow of all remaining Judaism, despite the teachings of Christ, or John the Baptist to start with, and Christ, and the apostles, these few Jews still would not have it. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, in verse 16, he's speaking of the Jews, forbidding us, God-ordained apostles, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sin alway, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. And then it was in AD 70 under Titus that wrath came upon the Jews to the uttermost. And they were dispersed in their entirety. Not even a remnant remained. Dispersed in their entirety. And then, out of a people which were not his people, emerged a true Israel according to the Spirit. We come to the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 2. The Epistle to the Romans, chapter 2, and verse 28. Romans 2:28. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Not of those who boast under an earthly covenant, a national covenant, but those whose boast and praise is solely in the Lord, under the covenant of sovereign grace. Romans chapter 9 and verse 6. Romans 9 and verse 6. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect. For they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Now the original covenant is not broken. That word is not made null and void. But you Jews did not see the full meaning. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect. For they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called, that is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed. Now Galatians 4 and verse 28. Galatians 4 and verse 28. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. And you and I come in there, beloved. We, brethren and sisters, as Isaac, are the children of promise. There cannot even be a shadow of a doubt if we hold the scriptures entire that in Hosea chapter 1 and verse 10, the Gentiles together with apostate Jews are promised admission into covenant relationship with God. That is spiritual relationship through the covenant of grace. A people which were not God's people yet shall become, says Hosea, shall become the sons of the living God. This is not a future restoration of a nation, of a national Israel, such as the so-called prophetic students speak. There is no ground, I say, whatsoever for their theories. I repeat, it is a cunningly devised fable, and the emphasis is on the cunning, because behind it is the old serpent to destroy the truth of the Word of God, which many of us were caught up in. Thank God for the deliverance. Let the New Testament apostles interpret Hosea. This will further substantiate that which one is saying. I say, let the New Testament apostles interpret Hosea. I say, their interpretation is far more reliable than Darby, Schofield, Eric Zoer, or any of the others whom you like to mention. Let Peter speak first. 1 Peter 2 and verse 10. 1 Peter 2 and verse 10. Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Now we'll call Paul to give his evidence. Romans chapter 9 and verse 24. Romans chapter 9 and verse 24. Even us, Gentiles, members of the other families of the earth, members of the nations, of which were spoken of to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles, as he saith also in Uzzi, or Hosea. Now then, as he saith in Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not my beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Now, says Paul, what's the problem? It's exactly what Hosea said. Now, no one can put it plainer than this, beloved. The apostles have interpreted this. This is no earthly kingdom being restored. It is the church which is in view. Hosea is prophesying and referring to a spiritual people. Look now in conclusion to verse 11. Verse 11. Then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together and appoint themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. Now Judah and Israel, we know, had been divided for centuries. A great breach between the 10 tribes in the north and those of the south, going right back long before they were overthrown by the Assyrians, as we saw in the historical setup and setting. Judah and Israel had been divided for centuries, this great breach between the 10 tribes in the north and the 2 in the south. But, says Hosea, that breach will be healed in the spiritual kingdom. As the true children of God out of Judah and out of Israel, that is according to the flesh, shall be gathered together with the elect Gentiles to form one people. One people. The Bible knows nothing of this earthly kingdom and spiritual kingdom. Jews and church. No. The children of Judah and of Israel, according to the flesh, will be gathered together with all elect Gentiles to form one people. Ephesians 2 and verse 16. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, those who were not my people, and to them that are nigh, those that came under the old earthly covenant. And through him, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Ephesians 4, verse 4. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Yes, the Apostle Paul makes much of the one body. Hosea speaks in verse 11 of the one head. Now, whilst the temporal kingdom is gone forever, yet a far more illustrious kingdom was to be seen. The true fulfillment of the promises made to the patriarchs. A people which cannot be numbered, gathered under one head, says Hosea. That's the ultimate. A people which cannot be numbered, gathered under one head. And this one head, the King of the true Israel of God, is actually an Israelite himself, according to the flesh. The seed of Abraham, the tribe of Judah, the root of David, Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, incarnate. And under his headship, and by grace alone, are called from the ends of the earth a people, brought into a kingdom which knows no bounds, a people whose conversation is in heaven. They shall come up out of the land, says Hosea. They shall come up out of the land, arising from all parts of this planet. Isaiah puts it into beautiful poetical language in chapter 35 and verse 8. Chapter 35 and verse 8. The stupidity of modern prophetic students who speak of this passage as being a great motorway built heading into Palestine from all parts. Chapter 35, verse 8. I say the stupidity, the blasphemous way of handling the word of God. The prophet says, "And highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, no creature affected by the curse, but those who have been freed from the curse. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Oh, great shall be the day of Jezreel. Out of all the sin and evil of the world, the grievous apostasy of Israel, the blasphemous apostasy of the professing church. Yet a people, yet, says Hosea, yet a people which no man can number shall come up out of the land and enter into the heavenly Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. So may our consideration of these last few verses of Hosea chapter 1 be blessed to all for God's glory. Amen. Hymn number 817. Lo, round the throne, a glorious band, the saints in countless myriads stand, of every tongue, redeemed to God, arrayed in garments, washed in blood. 817.
Lord, round the throne, a glorious band, The saints in countless myriads stand, of every tongue redeemed through God, arrayed in garments washed in the blood. Great they came, they bore the cross, despised the shame. From all the labors now they rest in God's eternal glory blessed. They see their Savior face to face and sing the triumph of His grace. Him day and night they ceaseless praise, to Him the loud thanksgiving raise. Worthy the Lamb for sinners slain, through endless years He'll live and reign. Thou hast redeemed us by Thy blood and made